The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark. Glory to you, Lord Christ. Now after John the Baptist was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." As Jesus passed along by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little further, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise you, Lord Christ. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Now this morning I want to tell two stories. First story goes like this. One day, long ago, God's word came to Jonah. Heard of Jonah, right? God's word came to Jonah, who's Amittai's son. "Up on your feet and on your way to the big city of Nineveh, preach to them. They're in a bad way and I can't ignore it anymore," God said. But Jonah got up and went the other direction, to Tarshish, running away from God. Tarshish was a city with, well, there's some debate about where it actually was. But as the scripture presents it, it was the exact opposite direction as far as he could get away from God and his little trip to Nineveh that God told him to go on. So he went down to the port of Joppa and found a ship headed for Tarshish. He paid the fare and went on board, joining those going to Tarshish, as far away from God as he could get. But God sent a huge storm at sea, the waves towering. The sailors were terrified. They call out in desperation to their gods. They threw everything they were carrying overboard to lighten the ship. Meanwhile, Jonah had gone down into the hold of the ship to take a nap. He was sound asleep. The captain came to him and said, "What's this? Sleeping? Get up, pray to your God. Maybe your God will see we're in trouble and rescue us." Then the sailors said to one another, "Let's get to the bottom of this. Let's draw straws to identify the culprit on this ship who's responsible for this disaster." So they drew straws. Jonah got the short straw. They grilled him. "Confess, why this disaster? What is your work? Where do you come from? What country? What family?" He told them, "I'm a Hebrew. I worship God, the God of heaven who made sea and land." At that, the men were frightened, really frightened, and said, "What on earth have you done?" As Jonah talked, the sailors realized that he was running away from God. They said to him, "What are we going to do with you to get rid of this storm?" By this time, the sea was wild, totally out of control. Jonah said, "Throw me overboard into the sea. Then the storm will stop. It's all my fault. I am the cause of the storm. Get rid of me, and you'll get rid of the storm." But no, the men tried rowing back to shore. They made no headway. The storm only got worse and worse, wild and raging. They prayed to God, "Oh God, don't let us drown because of this man's life, and don't blame us for his death. You are God. Do what you think is best." They took Jonah and threw him overboard. Immediately, the sea was quieted down. The sailors were impressed, no longer terrified by the sea, but in awe of God. They worshiped God, offered a sacrifice, and made vows. Then God assigned a huge fish to swallow Jonah. Jonah was in the fish's belly 3 days and nights. So that's how Jonah gets into the whale, except it didn't say whale, did it? I'm going to take a short diversion here. I checked and did the math. I looked at 26 different translations of the Bible. The Old Testament is written in Hebrew. I looked at 26 different versions, and what I discovered is that of those 26, two said big fish. 18 of them said great fish. 4 said huge fish. And 2 said large fish. Not a single one said whale. But we have it in our head that Jonah was swallowed by a whale. Now, the word whale, as it turns out, only appears in the Bible a few times. It's in Job, book of Job. You recall, Job was having some tough times. Said, am I a sea or a whale that thou settest a watch over me? Comes up a couple other times in the Old Testament. Then curiously, there's one verse in the New Testament, in the Gospels, that mention a whale. And the Gospels mention it this way. This is in Matthew's Gospel. It says, Jesus said, for as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the whale, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Jesus was comparing, as you can hear, the 3 days in the whale with the 3 days in the tomb. And yes, it was Jesus who seems to have mistranslated this. And that's where we get whale. Now, let me go on with our story. Then Jonah prayed to his God from the belly of the fish. He prayed in trouble, deep trouble. I prayed to God, he answered me. From the belly of the grave I cried, help. You heard my cry. You threw me into ocean's depths, into a watery grave, with ocean waves, ocean breakers crashing over me. I said, I've been thrown away, thrown out of your sight. I'll never again lay eyes on your holy temple. Ocean gripped me by the throat. The ancient abyss grabbed me and held me tight. My head was all tangled in seaweed at the bottom of the sea where the mountains take root. I was as far down as a body can go, and the gates were slamming shut behind me forever. Yet you pulled me up from that grave alive. Oh God, my God, when my life was slipping away, I remembered God, and my prayer got through to you, made it all the way to your holy temple. Those who worship hollow gods walk away from their only true love. But I'm worshiping you, God, calling out in thanksgiving. And I'll do what I promised I'd do. Salvation belongs to God. Then God spoke to the fish, and it vomited up Jonah onto the seashore. That's how he got out. Did you remember that he was vomited out? Next, God spoke to Jonah a second time. Up on your feet and on your way to the big city of Nineveh. Preach to them. They're in a bad way, and I can't ignore it any longer. This time, Jonah started off for Nineveh, obeying God's orders to the letter. Jonah entered the city, went one day's walk, and preached. In 40 days, Nineveh will be smashed. The people of Nineveh listened and trusted God. They proclaimed a citywide fast and dressed in burlap to show their repentance. Everyone did it. Rich and poor, famous and obscure, leaders and followers. When the message reached the king of Nineveh, he got off his throne, threw down his royal robes, dressed in burlap, and sat down in the dirt. Then he issued a public proclamation throughout Nineveh, authorized by him and his leaders. And it said, not one drop of water, not one bite of food for man, woman, or animal, including your herds and flocks. Dress them all, both people and animals, in burlap, and send up a cry for help to God. Everyone must turn around, turn back from an evil life and the violent ways that stain their hands. Who knows? Maybe God will turn around and change his mind about us, quit being angry with us, and let us live. Well, God saw what they had done, that they had turned away from their evil lives. He did change his mind about them. What he said he would do to them, he didn't do. Well, Jonah was furious. He lost his temper. He yelled at God, God, I knew it. When I was back home, I knew this was going to happen. That's why I ran off to Tarshish. I knew you were sheer grace and mercy, not easily angered, rich in love, and ready at the drop of a hat to turn your plans of punishment into a program of forgiveness. So God, if you won't kill them, kill me. I'm better off dead. God said, what do you have to be angry about? But Jonah just left. He went out of the city to the east and sat down in a sulk. He put together a makeshift shelter of leafy branches and sat there in the shade to see what would happen to the city. God arranged for a broadleaf tree to spring up. It grew over Jonah to cool him off and get him out of his angry sulk. But Jonas was pleased and enjoyed the shade. Life was looking up. But then God sent a worm. By dawn of the next day, the worm had bored into the shade tree and it withered away. The sun came up and God sent a hot, blistering wind from the east. The sun beat down on Jonah's head and he started to faint. He prayed to die. I am better off dead. Then God said to Jonah, what right do you have to get angry about this shade tree? Jonah said, plenty of right. It made me angry enough to die. God said, what's this? How is it that you can change your feelings from pleasure to anger overnight about a mere shade tree that you did nothing to get? You neither planted it nor watered it. It grew up one night and died the next. So why can't I likewise change what I feel about Nineveh from anger to pleasure? This big city of more than 120,000 childlike people who don't yet know right from wrong, say nothing of all the innocent animals. That's the entire book of Jonah. It's a great story. The big fish. It's also a story about somebody who was, let's say, reluctant to answer God's call. Reluctant might be an understatement. But God won in the end. And if you think about what God did with Jonah, God told him to go preach. I don't imagine that Jonah was a very good preacher, given the way he acted. But the whole city turned from his preaching, which just goes to show that it's not always the power of the preacher. It's the power of the message. And it might just be that some of us are called through our reluctance to preach the message, even when we think we can't. And I told you I had two stories. This story goes like this. Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee. He saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you fish for people. And immediately they left their nets and followed him. That's how you answer a call. Immediately they followed him. Amen.